And then secondly, dependent upon faith arises joy. This is the second stage. Faith developing into joy. After all, we have found what we were looking for. We might not have been able to seize hold of it, but at least we've had a glimpse of it. At least we've seen it, even behind a cloud, as it were. So naturally, after perhaps a period of long searching, long struggling, long discontent, we are pleased and happy and satisfied and contented. And we may even say, more than that, our contact with the spiritual, our contact with these higher values, which for Buddhism are represented by, in fact incarnate in, the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, this contact has begun to transform our lives. It isn't something intellectual. It isn't something theoretical. Our hearts have actually been lifted up. This is what the word shraddha literally means, a lifting up of the heart, a sursum corda, you may say, have been lifted up to something higher, have touched at something higher, have experienced, even if only for a moment, something higher. And on account of that contact, however brief, however electrical as it were, a change begins to take place. We begin to become just a little bit less self-centered. Our egoity is just a little disturbed, a little shaken up. And we become, or we begin to become, just a little bit more generous, a little bit more outward going. We tend not to hang on to things so very closely or so very convulsively. And what we may describe as the lower part of our nature, that part of our human nature which belongs to the lower evolution, that starts coming under the conscious control of that higher part of our nature which belongs to the higher evolution. And things like food, things like sleep, things like sex begin to come under the control of that higher nature. Not only that, but we begin to lead a life which is more harmless and more simple than our life was before. And this too makes us feel more happy and more contented. We feel more at ease within ourselves. We don't rely so much upon external things. We don't need external things. We don't need material things so much as we used to do. We can do without them. We don't care if we haven't got a beautiful house in the suburbs and a beautiful car and all the rest of it. We sit very loose to all those things. And we're much more free, much more detached than we were before, and we are at peace with ourselves. But we may not have fully found, may not have fully discovered or explored what we were originally looking for, but we've made contact with it. We know that it is there, and that contact has at least begun to transform our lives, making us, as I've said, less self-centered, more generous, and bringing our lower nature at least a little bit under control. We have a good conscience, but there's no complacency, of course. And Buddhism, I would say, attaches very great importance indeed to this particular stage. It attaches great importance to our having, we may say, a good and a clear conscience, feeling happy and joyful on account of our spiritual life. And this is certainly one of the things that you can notice in the East, certainly in the Buddhist East, that their religious life, spiritual life, is much more associated with joy than it is in the West. In the West, we tend to think that to be religious, you must be at least a bit gloomy, or at least serious, keep a straight face, and certainly not laugh in church or anything like that. That would be regarded as very improper. But it isn't like that in the East. Now, there they tend to think that if you're a Buddhist or if you're leading a spiritual life or you're following the spiritual path, you should be more happy, more open, and more carefree, more joyful than other people. And religious festivals and celebrations and occasions of that sort are occasions of joy. And I have more than once remarked on the fact that I was very, very surprised when I came back to this country after 20 years in the East and found that the Buddhist movement was, on the whole, in this country, such a gloomy and such a serious affair, with people hardly daring even to smile when you made a joke in the course of a lecture. This is how it was. I'm not going to elaborate upon this or go into details. I've done that on other occasions. But the point which I'm trying to make is that if you have found there's something very precious that you were looking for, and if it has really begun to work in your life and has begun to transform it, well, why should you not be happy? If you're not happier than other people who haven't got this wonderful thing called Buddhism, who haven't got these three jewels, if you're not more happy than them, well, what's the use of being a Buddhist? Or what does being a Buddhist or taking refuge in the three jewels mean? So people who come into contact with those who have discovered this something, and who have discovered, so they believe, the three jewels, ought to feel that these people are more happy than people that you normally meet. And if they're not, but one can only put the question, well, why not? So much importance does Buddhism attach to this stage of feeling happy and carefree and at peace with oneself, and having a good, clear conscience, and to be able to go about with a little song on your lips, as it were, that if, or for any reason, on any account, you lapse from this, maybe you've done something that you shouldn't have done, so you get all sad and serious, you start beating your breast in the good old pre-Buddhistic fashion and thinking what a terrible sinner you've been. And Buddhism says this is a very unhealthy state to be in. This state of guilt and remorse and having a bad conscience. The sooner you get out of it, the better. It doesn't mean that what you did wasn't wrong. Yes, it was wrong. Yes, you made a mistake. And you'd better admit that and own up to it and try to make up for it and not do it again. But once you've understood, and once you've tried to put it right, just put it out of your mind, just forget about it, and just walk on. I hope I'm not stealing anyone's thunder in using this phrase, but it just came. Just walk on, and leave your sin behind you. It won't do you any good whatsoever to take or to carry it with you. So in Buddhism we've even got special ceremonies and special services to bring about this sort of psychological effect. If you feel weighed down by any little sin that you've committed, or even a big one, well, just go, we are told, in front of the shrine, just bow down in front of the Buddha, just think it all over, just say to yourself, well, what a fool I've been. I really shouldn't have done that. I really am sorry, especially if it has involved hurt to other people. All right, I won't do it again. I should be very careful. I'll watch myself. I'll be aware. I'll be mindful. And then you recite some texts. You try to fix your mind on the teaching. You try to recollect the ideal. Think of the Buddha. Burn some candles if you like. Light some incense. And in this way, purge your mind of the feeling of guilt which you did have. And in this way you restore your state of clear conscience, you restore your state of joy and your happiness in the Buddha, in the Dharma and in the Sangha. So in this way, we may say in general terms, in dependence upon faith, this emotional response to the highest spiritual values that you encounter, in dependence upon faith there arises this joy, which should be the hallmark, we may say, of the true Buddhist.